Hey, it's another time we don't have a guest.
Yeah.
Can my beard be the guest?
Absolutely. Always welcome.
My aspiring beard.
Can mine also be another guest? We have two guests today.
Today our guests are our aspiring beards. They've been in the beard business for, I think I'm maybe 3 weeks for me, 4 weeks?
Yeah. I'm similar. About the same, yeah.
So you look trimmed, shorn.
Uh-huh.
I'm at the point where I always give up. This is a point where I'm like, oh, I look weird. It's not thick enough. It's not full enough. I give up right here.
Have you tried just cutting it down at this length?
That's what I usually do.
But like to like a 2 or 3 guard?
That's what I'm saying. That's to me is giving up. Not giving up.
No.
It's giving up on the vast beard growth. I want to see what can happen. Can I get to Shay status? You know, can I go there?
You want to believe any man can, but...
This is where I get scared.
Individual.
This is where I get scared.
Yeah.
I'm trying to grow a forest, and all I see are like little kind of bushes growing.
Yeah.
I don't want a bush forest.
Specklings of spruces.
Little speckles.
Yeah.
Anyway, our guests today are our beards. Welcome to the Nice Peter Podcast.
Ba-da-da-ba-ba, it's intro music for the Nice Peter Podcast.
I invited Lloyd to be the guest today.
Oh, yeah.
Should have talked to you about it. I didn't, but he's in Canada.
Still in Canada?
Yeah, I was surprised as well.
I thought he was coming back on Monday.
I thought he was, too. I don't know. It's an interesting time for me. I usually know what Lloyd is doing at 20-minute intervals. Like, I'm like, I think Lloyd's hungry. Lloyd should get some food. I've been apart from him from that at least daily
mm-hmm.
sort of feeding cycle
yeah.
for a while now. So it's interesting. He's in another country.
You know, I happen to know where Lloyd is every time because he somehow merged his Google Calendar with mine in some weird way.
That's so weird.
And so like when he has like a tax appointment, I see it on my Google Calendar and I go, I gotta let Lloyd know about, but I don't want to bother him either. Cause it's like,
sure.
It's like one of those weird things. Like I don't even know where it's coming from, honestly. So it's
so
like,
you know all of Lloyd's appointments?
Yeah. There's not a lot. I know when he's having dinner with someone. I know when he's having a tax appointment. And
that's amazing. What an interesting
peak. I don't get notifications though. You
okay.
know?
You have to go look.
Yes. And it's also not on my phone. It's only on my iCal,
okay.
on my laptop computer. But I don't know. I don't know how I ended up there.
Okay.
And I keep on meaning to say something, but like
no, keep that.
I just
good.
Keep on forgetting
that's
about
like
it.
That's like having a neighbor who kind of you know their
windows are open
windows
all the time.
Just enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just you don't want to tell them. Just you know, be respectful. Don't look a lot. Don't take any pictures, but, you know, see what kind of appointments he's up to. You gotta...
How was your dinner with Steve last night?
That could be creepy. Don't ever tell him you know about his calendar. Just be like, oh, man, last night I had this dream that I had a tax appointment at 4:30 p.m. And he'll be like, whoa, I had a tax appointment. Yeah, just mess with him a little bit. So I did invite Lloyd to be the guest today. Like, as I said, he's in Canada. I don't know if it's... I don't know. I've been watching podcasts, listening to podcasts, hearing mm-hmm. podcasts. I think guests are cool, but I don't want to shift the focus from you out there, us in here.
Yeah.
I want guests that join the focus.
Absolutely. I think it's very possible.
It's very possible. I'm excited at the possibility of getting call-in guests.
Yeah.
There's a forum out there. There's a forum out there called the erboh.com.
Oh, yes.
And that's one of the first, like way back in the day, that was the first Rap Battles fan website that happened. Mm-hmm. That was before, there's the ERB Wiki, great people, wonderful people.
Yes.
But before the ERB Wiki ever existed, as far as I know, there was the ERBOH forum. And I know that because they bought ERBOH.com when we were looking to buy ERBOH.com.
I remember that.
Yeah. But they have a great active community and like a long time ago before, you know, that was an interesting, the first time I looked out into the internet and saw other people talking about our work on a website that I didn't make. I was like, what is this? This is new. And so I thought about, somebody posted a video that was like a little hello, and they gave us some congratulations and offered some input and stuff. And their input is valuable. They've seen every frame.
Absolutely.
And I thought about wanting to be like, hey, man, you want to be the guest on our next podcast? And doing a call-in like that. So instead of reaching out to like famous people, reaching, I don't want to say down, that's not what I mean, but reaching out to people who are just a part
lateral
of this journey, reaching horizontally to people who have a totally different perspective.
Yeah.
And seeing what's interesting about them because they like my videos.
And I can imagine the cacophony of like who you could get onto like a party line per se.
It'd be incredible.
And just hear what they have to say.
Answer some questions.
Yeah.
It's been my, I think an asset to me as things grow and making videos and making bigger things that I'm so fascinated by the one person.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of being able to call one person out there, be like, hi, you're the guest on the Nice Peter podcast today. And seeing how that goes instead of focusing on like, you know, could we get some big actor to be our guest so everyone would enjoy it? I'm so fascinated by it. Wouldn't it blow this person's day open if they were just unexpectedly the guest on the Nice Peter podcast?
Yeah.
Or something.
That's a great concept, man. I haven't seen anyone else do it, and it makes like a lot of sense. And no one's tried it yet.
I love that stuff. I've never been able to detach from the first realization that I had about YouTube was that these are individuals.
Mm-hmm.
These are people. Every one of these screen names, it's not a bunch of letters and stuff. That's a person.
Yeah.
That person has passions, hobbies. They're watching this video. They're sitting in a chair. They're looking at some, you know, and that's been hard for me. I've never, you know, a lot of people when they make videos, they say like, hey guys,
mm-hmm.
I've never felt comfortable saying that.
Anytime I've said it, it's always strange, and it feels fake or something.
Something.
Yeah.
To me, it's one person. It's one lens that's connected to one set of eyeballs. Two eyeballs. Maybe I'm talking to the eyeballs. Hello, both of you.
I like knowing that the video doesn't exist unless someone else watches it. So if it's not being played, it doesn't really exist. It doesn't exist until someone else is watching it.
That's
so you can always count on when it has to exist somewhere. So when you're always referring or talking to someone, that has to happen or else nothing's happening unless it's being stored in the cloud somewhere and it doesn't matter.
It's just a piece of digital garbage.
But once you open it, it's there and that connection's actually opening. And that's a real thing that's happening.
To acknowledge that moment.
Yeah.
It'd be like opening a time capsule.
Mm-hmm.
If there wasn't like some sort of note in there, it's just a bunch of garbage buried underground.
Yes.
You know, like without that intention of
shoes.
Yeah. Without that intention of like, hey, you know, we're saving this for you to open 200 years later.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of trash in a box.
Yeah.
That's the difference. So yeah, there's a lot of digital trash out there.
Yeah.
But
you can think of it as trash, but even think about the trashiest thing you've come across in the deep parts of YouTube.
You shouldn't say that because my brain starts thinking about some real bad stuff, man.
I've come pretty deep into YouTube.
Oh, gosh.
And when you find it, I still think about the same thing. I'm having this conversation with this person. Like, this person made this for me.
Yeah.
We're connecting right now. And then it goes away. But, it, you know, didn't exist before. And then it exists. And that connection was made. I guess I'm saying what I'm trying to say.
I've seen some things on YouTube that make me question, does anyone realize that someone else is going to see this? Like, you know, like it's amazing. It's inspiring. Honestly, I've seen some stuff that's so weird that it like gives me strength in a way. It's
absolutely.
Just like, cause I see this person so weird and so vulnerable. I'm like, I love this dude.
Yes.
I love his weird, like neck beard. You know, it makes me feel so much better about my attempt at a beard. To be like, this guy don't give zero Fs.
Yeah.
Am I dropping F-bombs on this one? I'm
the
still
Fs have, are fun. We'll work up to it.
All right.
We'll add a letter.
I still have this constant debate of what sort of language to use here on the podcast. I don't know. As I've said before, on the Monday show, I try to keep it.
I think it's okay. You don't think, you know, you don't swear if you want to, if you really need to. The fact is, you didn't really have to. You didn't need to.
I didn't have to.
Yeah.
Zero Fs.
Yeah.
But
Fs felt good.
It did feel funny. Fun. I don't know.
On stage, though.
On stage, it's a big thing. And on stage, I look out and I see that everybody's like 18 or 19 or at least 16.
Mm-hmm.
I think what happened is early making YouTube videos, you know, I got one of my first big breaks on YouTube was from Shay. Mm-hmm. Was from Shay Carl. So, you know, there were a lot of younger people.
Yeah.
Like sent me letters like written in crayon and stuff. And that, I was like, whoa, I didn't expect this. I used to make like kind of aggro videos.
Yeah.
Aggro songs and stuff. And then when I got my first like crayon written 9-year-old letter, maybe even younger, I got some like backwards E's.
Yeah.
You know?
That's adorable.
It's adorable.
Yeah.
But when someone says, you know, I love your videos with a backwards E in crayon.
Yeah.
It makes it hard to drop F-bombs.
Absolutely.
It's like being at a little kid's birthday party.
Yeah.
Or it's like being at an adult's birthday party and their little kids are there.
Yeah.
You can have a conversation with an adult. If there's a little kid around, you're probably not going to drop the Fs. You hear those sirens? Is that coming through the microphones?
It might or might not. There are sirens. I think we're safe in here, though.
Oh,
I think we're safe.
Not worried for my safety. Yeah. It is an interesting thing here living in Los Angeles. Every once in a while, you hear a police helicopter.
Oh, and all the time.
You can look up and see it, and your life, you're in Grand Theft Auto for a moment. You're just like, it's on your street. They're looking for an active criminal on your street.
That's what our friend Liam was visiting from England and staying in my living room for a bit. Yeah. And he, one night, window shaking right over our apartment.
Helicopter
he
light.
He was like, was I in Grand Theft Auto? Yeah. And that's not how he sounds at all. I'm so sorry,
that
Liam.
You just insulted an entire nation. That was amazing. Holy crap.
My bad.
No, it's okay. English accents are hard. Playing Doctor Who was playing the Doctor. I was really nervous.
Yeah, I would be too.
British accent. It's why...
Could have fooled me, though.
It's why I've always resisted Harry... It's one of the reasons I've always resisted Harry Potter in a rap battle. Because it wouldn't be Lloyd.
But I do want to draw that thunderbolt
on his forehead.
Lightning bolt on his forehead, yeah.
I mean, Lloyd would be that. Lloyd has a way of pulling off anything. Like, you can put him in anything, and it's just funny. There's just something in it. He's so
malleable.
Honest. Malleable. Yeah. Malleable, but also just like, he's, you know, Lloyd is like a Mr. Potato Head doll. Like, if you pop one of the lipstick lips on him, he's a woman. Still, same potato-y head, you know? You pop the glasses on him, he's a professor. Lloyd's a Mr. Potato Head. I'm not, you know? I don't have the potato head thing. I've really got to morph a little bit.
You're a bit of a sweet potato.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks. You're a sweet potato, too. So if it came down to bringing Harry Potter in a rap battle, Lloyd would, you know, the obvious combination out there is Harry Potter versus Harry Houdini. It's right there. It's been right there since right in the beginning. Mm-hmm. I remember we considered Harry Potter versus Edward Cullen from Twilight. And I either rented or bought like 4 Twilight DVDs. Maybe there weren't that many. I bought too many.
There could be. 4.
And I watched it. I sat down and watched it. I do want people out there to know that every suggestion that becomes really popular, that like gets to the top, gets 100 thumbs up, mm-hmm. even if I'm like, that's awful, I'll look into it.
Yeah.
I looked into Freddy Fazbear. I don't know if we've talked about that here or not. I've been talking about it a lot lately.
Yeah.
Kind of become obsessed with it, even though I've never played the game. Because I want to know that there are people out there that it's their favorite thing.
Yeah, and it's reverberating or resonating.
It won't go away.
No.
So I want to know, what is this about? So Edward Cullen from Twilight, I read the books. I read 2 of the books. Watched the movies. I think 2 of them. I threw up in my mouth. Spit out the throw up. And I decided not to do it.
Good for you. Yeah. I'm glad when you made that decision.
Me too.
I liked going to the Goodwill and going to the book section, and there was literally a 6-foot case of all Twilight books. All Twilight books.
Everybody bought them. I bought them. Yep. They're not good. They're not that good. They speak to, I don't know. They speak to someone.
The 16-year-old in me. No offense, 16-year-old.
Are you pointing to your developing uterus?
I am too.
They speak to my first period.
The descent.
Testicle descent?
That comes earlier.
That's like 6 months.
But the loins.
Sure.
My loins got a little bit fired up. But the truth, when Claire de Lune is played in the first Twilight, which I saw at a movie theater, I don't know, man.
That's a song?
I got emotional. Claire de Lune is that piano.
You've played it before. It's beautiful.
Incredible.
I always think you're talking about an actress from
the
90s.
It's my favorite.
I always think you're talking about Claire Danes. Which is different.
Very different.
But every time you say Claire de Lune, I'm like, oh, yeah, she's... Oh, yeah, right. The Brahms piece.
But they did that effectively. That brought me back to feeling like a 16-year-old with loins raging.
Getting your first period.
Yeah. It was all happening all at once.
I didn't know about periods when I was the age when all the girls around me were getting them.
I don't think I did either.
I didn't know. My sexual education from my parents was about 8 years too late. I remember my dad, you know, putting his arm around me when I was like 19 or 20. Be like, son, want to let you know there's this thing between a man and a woman. I was like, whoa. If you don't mind, I'm going to go drive over to my girlfriend's house and have sexual intercourse with her again. And they're kind people. They're just, I don't know. They didn't.
Yeah.
You got to talk to kids about
it. It's kind of difficult. I can't imagine doing it.
It's super hard.
Yeah.
But you know what else is? Everything.
Yes.
It's one of those things you just got to do. I was lucky. They didn't have to teach me about sex because they bought me a set of encyclopedias.
That's cool. And you took the time to read them yourself.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely. Yeah. I like to learn.
I remember flipping through an encyclopedia, a very old one, but I don't know. I'd just, you know, open up to like Nicaragua and you're like, you know, see the population and all that kind of facts and figures.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
But I couldn't get through it.
No. You're not going to read it cover to cover.
I tried.
I tried too. I bought an encyclopedia recently to be like, I'm going to read this thing cover to cover.
Yeah.
I'm going to learn about Nicaragua, nicotine.
The Knicks?
The Knicks. It starts with a K, but whatever.
Yeah.
But I definitely the S edition of the Encyclopedia Britannica. No, I had the World Book Encyclopedia.
Okay.
Has a couple of bent pages. The human sexuality. I remember it specifically saying, it's when a man and a woman lie very close to each other, and the man places his penis within the woman's vagina. I'm getting nervous right now talking about it. What?
I don't know how that worked for a very long time. Even after I saw a vagina in a magazine,
sure,
I was still like unsure as to
mystifying. There are some
what the function of it was.
Well, it's several fold. I thought for sure for years that boy babies came from men. Dads made boy babies. I don't know what I've talked about and what I haven't. So if I ever repeat myself, you know, forgive me, everybody.
No, I haven't heard this. I've never heard this before. And any
boy babies came from dads out of their belly button.
What? Wow.
And girl babies came from women. That was like we reproduced ourselves. It made total sense to me for years. Yeah. And then when I stumbled on the encyclopedia, probably around age 9 or 10, I was like, oh, this is totally different than I thought. Because there's nothing on my body that's like, I didn't look ever at my penis and be like, oh, a baby comes out of here.
Yes.
So the belly button seemed...
I just thought it was a pee-pee machine for most of my life.
The penis?
Yeah.
But what the belly button, I was like, what is this? Nobody ever told me what that is.
Yeah.
When I found out it used to be connected. It was an amazing whole process. Yeah. Maybe the key is to start talking about it like way before it's an issue. You know what I mean?
Did you have to watch The Miracle of Life in health class?
I don't remember.
So when you see a... birth.
You see it.
See it.
Don't remember that. Think yeah. I would have remembered that. I have seen some birth videos.
Yeah.
And I remember them all. It is.
Yeah, it sticks with you.
Ah.
Yeah.
It's simultaneously so beautiful and so messy.
Yes. Yeah.
Definitely
need to throw a tarp down.
It's You're gonna want to cover the furniture on that one.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it when I saw it. But that's when it finally clicked. I had to actually see a birth happened to know
you got it
what functioned and how it functioned, and then just all at once all the pieces were coming together.
But can you connect that, like having never seen one in person or been a part of one with my partner, to imagine that happening to the, you know, the woman body that you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like I'd be impressed if a wallet came out. I'd be like, wow, that as an achievement for it to be a human being, both in size and shape and just the quality and magnitude of that, is still going to be impressive.
Yeah.
It is.
Absolutely.
It's a feat.
Yeah.
And the body just
does it.
Makes it. It's amazing. Yeah. Honestly. If a pear-sized object was birthed, I would give a round of applause. And then it grows to the size of a human and then is able to come out. It is amazing.
Luckily, you know, we're not like cows or giraffes.
Is that lucky? I saw a giraffe birth.
Really?
It's so funny. I was actually just thinking about that. The giraffe plops out.
Yeah.
Very wet. Stands up. Immediately.
Yeah.
And then like walks.
Can survive.
Yeah. It's wobbly legs.
Yeah.
But human babies are such helpless little.
Sure are. Feels a little bit too soon. Like I don't want to be the one to offer.
You mean we should gestate for longer? I believe that's the word.
I don't want to propose it. It's certainly not my business. But it seems like when you look at the newborn child,
right.
It is very small.
It's very small. Very helpless.
Very helpless.
Yeah. Very helpless.
Yeah.
But I think that's because they spend the most of the time developing the brain, developing the head.
That is right.
They're born real smart.
Smart. Yeah.
Like babies are as smart as adult cats, I think. Maybe not. I don't know. My cats don't seem the smartest. They're hiding in here somewhere. They freak out every time we podcast.
Oh.
Sorry.
They'll get used to it, I think.
Well, or they that's maybe cats don't adapt the same way that babies do. Babies just soak it all in and learn, become these amazing things.
Speaking of adaption, I saw a picture on Reddit today of a chimpanzee learning how to spearfish. It was released from a zoo.
Sure.
Back into the wild.
Spearfishing is very close to my heart.
I believe in Borneo. Yeah, you tell me about your spearfishing experience, and I'd love to hear more. But from learning from humans, it's hanging off a vine. Spearfishing. A chimpanzee. I feel like I'm watching the Planet of the Apes happen right in front of me.
Yeah, sure.
Isn't it crazy?
Yeah.
Doesn't that seem like you're watching evolution?
A little bit.
I don't know. I'm still thinking about
it. Certainly, if you taught, one chimpanzee, if you taught 100 chimpanzees to spearfish and like 10 of them really got it and you made them have more babies than the others and they taught their chimpanzees how to spearfish and you did that for like 10 generations, you'd have some pretty advanced monkeys out there.
Yeah.
It's pretty intense.
Pretty intense.
Evolution's a real thing, man.
Yeah. No, yes.
I often, I wonder sometimes if there's people who watch what I make or watch what I talk about or listen to this who are on the fence about evolution.
Yeah.
And we talk about this. How do you encourage people to think of things in a certain way versus force them to think about things in a certain way?
Yeah.
Because to me, evolution's not a matter of opinion or or upbringing. It's something that
has a lot of evidence.
There's a lot of evidence, but there are people out there who that evidence disagrees with some religious teachings,
yeah,
and they're at conflict, and that happens. How do you?
I think the conflict comes from perhaps the religious teachings.
Sure,
because there doesn't seem to be any conflict anywhere else in the evidence.
No,
so maybe the religious teachings can factor in the evidence to appeal more with their story.
Sure,
because the story is still valid. Story is great.
It's a great story.
It's a great story, and
Star Wars is a huge influence on my life.
Yeah,
I love the story.
Yeah,
I believe in the story.
Yes.
I don't believe in the Force.
Yep. I kind of do believe in the Force.
No, I'm not going to lie. Every single time I go up to automatic doors, that open automatically, I wave my hand. I do. I do it every time. Yeah. Even if I don't do it a lot, if somebody's watching, if nobody's watching, I'm like, I just like that illusion of I'm opening this door.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the Force. I wish I've tried. As a child, I definitely 100%. Reached for a glass. I was like, I checked it out. But the Force and evolution are very different. I just wonder, we were talking about gun control.
We were. We had a very heated debate about gun control.
We had this huge conversation the other night that we wished we had been podcasting because it got.
Yeah.
You took a great devil's advocate stance.
Yes.
You did a great job of playing the other side.
Yeah.
And we talked about gun control and what it means and how to talk to somebody who... All right, so I'm going to try and recreate some of this.
Okay.
It's going to be hard. So I was talking about how the illusion that guns are anything to do with protecting yourself from a tyrannical government is over.
Mm-hmm.
That was relevant back in the day when a couple of rifles could protect you and your community from some tyrannical government. And if they got beat, it would take like a week for reinforcements to get there. And that was a valid thing.
Yeah.
The government got out of control. You could have a couple of rifles, protect yourself, change things, shake it up. That's what they did in the revolution.
Mm-hmm.
They had a couple of rifles, changed things, shook it up.
Yeah.
Nowadays, I believe that the armament you would have to amass to be any threat to the government's military is so vast that I don't feel comfortable with my neighbors owning it.
You'd go up to all the way up to atom bomb.
You'd have to have an atomic bomb or at least like an Apache helicopter.
Yeah.
And if not, then one Apache helicopter would wipe out your entire little militia.
Yeah.
So when people argue that it's their constitutional right to have weapons with no restrictions at all from the government because they need to protect themselves from the government, that's where you lose me. I'm like, bro, you can't. I don't feel comfortable with you owning the kind of guns that you would need to actually protect yourself from the government.
Yeah.
Because the government owns some big honking guns.
Yeah.
And jets, fighter jets that will come in, and now creepy drones. And I get that all that stuff is creepy.
Yeah.
And I understand that protecting yourself from the government is important, but I think the way to do that in this day is by voting and getting involved in politics.
Yes.
Or getting active and organizing people.
Yes.
Using guns just ain't gonna work.
Yeah, no, violence doesn't seem to be the best way anymore.
It's not.
But I still think there was the ability to not take away. But I think, and also I misunderstood you as like wanting to take away freedom to own a firearm.
I want to take it away.
See, I can't behind that.
But I don't
want to. Because there's so many people who want to keep it.
Right.
Keep your gun,
definitely.
Man. No. All good. You shouldn't be able to own the maximum magazine that can annihilate a field full of people.
To me, that is the compromise of me who, you know, I was brought up, no guns. Guns are bad. I don't own a gun. I'll probably never own a gun.
Yeah.
So to me, and I don't think anybody should own guns.
Yeah.
But I respect that some people do want to own guns, want to hunt. I might want to try hunting sometime.
Yeah, me too.
I've always wanted to hunt an animal, take its life, take responsibility for that.
Yeah.
Skin it, eat it, have that like
your conscience and
yeah.
and the experience and everything else.
I eat meat. Yeah. I think it's important to have to experience the whole thing. Yeah. Like, I ended this life. I did this. This is a dead animal. Now I'm going to eat it.
Yep.
This is gross. I just chewed on my own bullets.
Yeah.
Are we getting a signal?
Yes. Well, eventually we have to go to some viewer mail. Our camera needs a little refresher.
That's okay. We can be open about it.
But so
we're adding the camera element to the podcast. So right now we're gonna take a pause and we're gonna switch memory cards and we're back. So we just took a little camera break, so there might be a little jump in the edit, but yeah. Here we are. So we were talking about guns. Derek, our cameraman. Am I allowed to say that you're also known as What A Day, Derek?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So one of my earliest friends in YouTube. One of the first guys.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first guys I met. Really met you in Las Vegas. I'm talking to you as if you're in that lens, but he's right behind it. Anyway, Derek said during the break, I own a gun. And I do respect that.
Yeah.
I do want people to own guns and to be able to own guns.
Yeah.
What bothers me is that the people who say they want to own guns with no restrictions. And that only bothers me because the level of guns you could own if there were no restrictions are preposterous.
Yes.
You could arm yourself like the Terminator,
mm-hmm.
get a minigun, and you could destroy my community if you had the wrong kind of day.
Yeah.
But you couldn't destroy the government. The government would take you down if they had to escalate it to getting a helicopter or a missile.
No.
Like, you can't win.
Yeah.
So you can't protect yourself from the government militarily.
Mm-hmm.
You could like make a mess. If you want to protect yourself from the government, all that time we waste arguing over whether you could protect yourself from the government or not, we could spend that time finding our common problems.
Absolutely.
And protecting ourselves from the government.
Yeah. And that was the big point I was trying to convey too. Because it's not about taking away or any of that kind of stuff. The whole thing's, I believe, a distraction.
It is a distraction.
Yeah.
But both sides got to chill out.
Absolutely.
The side that wants no restrictions, like, no, we need assault rifles.
Yeah.
Got to go, man.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yep.
You can't. You can't have them. Yep. Society voted. We said we don't feel comfortable with neighbor Bob owning an assault rifle.
Mm-hmm.
And what argument is there possibly to say that you should have that freedom?
And it's just the pure philosophical idea of freedom.
Which the
uninhibited
freedom is an illusion. Freedom, you're not free to do whatever you want because you can't murder people. You can't steal stuff.
Yeah.
You're free to exist within the rules of the society with complete fluid movement.
Mm-hmm.
You can be poor. You can be rich, no matter how you were born.
Mm-hmm.
It's real hard for some people, but you're not legally prevented from becoming the president of the United States. Back in the day, you were legally prevented from being a king or being a landowner.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where the freedom thing became a fabric of this country.
Yes.
The Second Amendment was written before the invention of tanks.
Yes.
So to say that the government shall impose no law restricting the right to own a weapon, it was before tanks.
Yes.
If your neighbor had a tank in the driveway, I mean, wouldn't that be weird?
Cool. I mean, so
it'd
Arnold, be cool. Arnold Schwarzenegger has one, I'm pretty sure.
It'd be cool. I'm not going to lie. There are some cool things about guns. And I fired a gun later in life. It's how I got this scar on my nose.
have one. I don't have a scar, but I got hit the same way.
Yeah.
Right by the sight, because...
You don't want an idiot like me being able to own a machine gun.
No.
Because even though I don't want to hurt anybody, I'm obviously a fool with weapons.
Yes.
And I hurt my own face, and I might accidentally hurt somebody else's whole face.
Yeah.
And I just... Yeah, we got to stop arguing about things that just aren't even real.
Yeah.
That aren't even... We don't even disagree here. It's just there's people getting you fired up. There's people getting me fired up. Well, and I'm saying you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The representative.
Absolutely. You. I think that plus our whole conversation stemmed from the measles thing.
The vaccine. You want to talk about this?
Yeah. I mean, if you would like to.
Let's get into it.
If you want to get this, the political Nice Peter podcast right now.
This is the one.
Stemmed from that. And it stemmed from you checking out Reddit or something like that, or being fired up on the news. And I get fired up on the news all the time. And so does my mom. My mom and I will have conversations about the news getting fired up. Again, I feel like bigger distraction. Vaccine is very important. But when you start getting like angry about the person who isn't respecting what you believe, then it's like, okay, I appreciate that, but...
Anger makes it so hard to
keep
along.
Keep on popping it up. Yeah. You go on the news now. Like it makes it seem like everyone's not getting vaccinated.
Right.
And there's a swarm coming of disease.
Right.
It's just not the case.
Right.
So you know, it's like pump the brakes, look around, realize like your life is incredibly good.
Yeah.
And it's going to remain to be for the most part. So just keep trudging forward and you know, let people know that you should get vaccinated and believe in your heart you should get vaccinated or whatever, or own a firearm or not own a firearm, but
teach
the alarm bells.
Sure. Yeah. Teach people why things are important instead of yelling at them and being like, you idiot, this is important.
Yeah.
No, they love to separate people in the news. They love to get people fired up.
Yeah.
And divide.
It's like the one by one. Well, I guess maybe that's just time, but the gay marriage, and now it's in Alabama. Everyone's talking about Alabama, and now there's
Alabama just legalized gay
exactly.
marriage, right?
But some judges aren't doing it, or some courts aren't doing it. And that's important. I don't know, but it just seems like there's more important things.
There are more important
And they just
things.
Keep on popping up. Like, let them get married, just, like, let's just move
Let's move on. Let's worry about, like hunger and lack of education and things that, like... Man, you meet some dudes, and that man loves men.
Yeah.
You can tell it from across the room.
Yeah.
You can feel it. You talk to him. You're like, that is a part of who you are.
Yeah.
The beautiful gayness inside you is so evident.
Yeah.
It's such a lovely thing.
Yeah. Why would you not want to be yourself?
Why
should anyone stop you?
And why would you want that person to not be able to be able to visit their chosen partner in the hospital, to be able to execute a will, all that kind of stuff that comes with marriage.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Because people, they get scared, they get freaked out, but I don't understand what they're scared or freaked out about, because it's just a different thing.
You know, if I had to look back at my own upbringing and like hanging out with the people I did growing up, To be questioned of your sexuality was always a put down, and that thing has continued to go on, and I think that's still, and in some places it's still real very rooted, and if you don't ever meet anyone who's openly gay and okay with it, then that still remains to be a put down. But once you start meeting people who are gay and they're incredible and they're people and there's nothing to be that's wrong about it, then it's like your eyes open and the put down goes away, and then you move to cities and warm people, it's okay.
The
whole thing goes on. But I don't know. I guess it's just the communities that will forever keep it a negative thing.
All these issues, I feel like guns, gay people getting married, abortion, all these things are things that they're difficult for both people on both sides. We got to come to some kind of agreement. Like, we talked about abortion the other night. I can't believe we're talking about abortion on this podcast.
Hey, had to happen sometime.
This is what I said the other night, that nobody on either side of the abortion question is like, let's have tons of abortions. Nobody, the concept of pro anything.
Yeah.
We're all anti-abortion.
Yeah.
Nobody is like, but people get into a place in their life where they need to make choices. And they're often statistically going to make that choice whether it's legal or not.
Mm-hmm.
They're often going to make it, like, abortion's been around since before it was ever a law or not a law. People just do it and it's unsafe. It hurts people.
Before we figured out we had to wash our hands before handling another person at
exactly.
a hospital.
Yeah, they were still abortions germs. Going. Yeah, it's the question is not whether abortion is wrong or bad or not wrong or not wrong. Yeah. I'd say everyone agrees that it's tragic.
Yes.
Everyone agrees that it's negative.
Yeah.
It's not what that person probably wanted. Yeah. I don't think anyone gets into a sexual encounter thinking, this will help me get an abortion. No one goes it that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So both sides of this supposed argument that go just fight constantly and divide us politically and all this stuff. Why can't we both agree that we don't want abortions to happen? That's what we have in common.
Yes. Start from there.
You want it to be illegal.
Mm-hmm.
I want it to be a less
safe.
I just want it to be safe.
Yep.
And I want to have it not be something people need to do.
Mm-hmm.
So why can't we work together? I mean, I know why we can't work together. Because people keep getting us fired up.
Yeah. Well, because once you're like, okay, you made a good point. And someone's like, but I want my Ford 8-8 guns with bombs. And
right. You're
like, what? Who? God damn it. It keeps on just, you keep on hearing things like, there's more things to pay attention to that don't really matter. They just keep on popping up.
And angry people are so loud.
They are. They're the loudest.
And they're also fascinating.
Like, yeah.
It's so much more interesting. If I was angry on this podcast, I think it would probably be more interesting in a certain way. If
Absolutely.
I was always yelling at you and always yelling at you out there, like, this is terrible. All these people and their abortion guns. I feel how interesting that is. It's just interesting to watch people yell, but it's not effective.
No.
And it just doesn't do anything any good. You think abortion should be illegal. We, as the people of the United States, We voted that that's not the case.
Yeah. Well, our judges have decided based on their evidence.
Our society is built around this system.
Yeah.
The judges decided it.
Yeah.
Is a step of progress. Let's not go backwards.
Yeah.
Let's work forward. And be like, all right, how do we reduce the need for abortion?
Yeah.
That's our common goal. Then it's all this wasted time fighting something that we've already decided as a society to do.
Mm-hmm.
That. I know there's some people that wish it hadn't turned out that way.
Yeah.
And I respect them. But it did. Let's not go backwards.
Yeah.
We decided to integrate schools.
I know. I was going to bring it back to that.
There were people who didn't want it.
That's the line right there.
You can't go backwards.
That's the line.
What do you mean?
Like, the big part of the split is the South-North Civil War line. Not saying the South-North is still split like that, but there's still some people hanging out, living in the past. And I think it had a lot to do with that point in time.
Wow. Are you saying the abortion argument has to do with the Civil War?
Kinda. Yeah.
Wow. That's deep.
Yeah.
That's
I mean,
deep.
Very indirectly, but it's still on that line.
It's
Mason Dixon.
I just wonder if we can't start shifting from things we disagree upon to things we all agree upon. And how do we do it? How do we reduce abortions?
Yeah.
How do we... I don't know what you do with guns. I don't know. What's the rational argument for someone that thinks you should be able to own a machine gun in your house?
Again, I feel like it's just like the loud person who talks a lot. They probably don't even really want the machine gun. They probably can't even afford the machine gun. You know, it's just they want to have their concept intact. They don't want you telling me
you can't own
what
a machine
I can
gun.
And cannot do. And I respect that.
Yeah,
but it's a device. And it's not really helping you. I got a feeling your life isn't like spectacular. You know what I mean? Like if you
want to own a machine gun, you're saying you have a terrible life?
Yeah, kind of.
All right.
You know? Yeah, I firmly stand by that. If you want to own a machine gun, things aren't going super well for you.
You
Unless
heard
you're
it,
FPS Russia.
You heard it here first.
Yeah.
FPS Russia bothers me.
Yeah, no, that's some serious stuff.
It's some serious stuff. And he bothers me. I'll go ahead and say it.
No.
I think he's good at YouTube videos. I haven't seen one of his videos in a long time.
Yeah, I don't know if he's alive.
I even enjoy, like, I hate to say it, but I enjoy watching his YouTube videos. They're good.
Yes.
But they say something really dangerous. There's very little, like the Mythbusters take way more caution and do a very good job of saying, hey, we're professionals. They make it very obvious they're professionals. They wear goggles. They stand behind safe walls. Mm-hmm. This is just a dude in a field firing off big guns.
Yeah.
It's not cool. People get hurt. One of his guys got shot. Like, he got hurt one time. Like, it's not okay. It's socially irresponsible. When you have millions of people watching you, you need to up your game.
It is the core element of America, though. It is the drive to move west, to move to open pastures, so that you can blow something up. You know?
Who got executed? Someone was executed?
The guy who got, that manager guy that was related to FPS Russia, who got killed, it was like execution style.
Tied up.
Oh. That's really bad.
Yeah. No, it makes you wonder, like, so where are you getting your firearms?
Yeah.
You know?
Ugh. There was a drone on FPS Russia that really freaked me out. We talked about drones last time a little bit.
Yeah.
It was an armed drone.
Yeah.
Like a little one.
Okay. Now, this is the thing about the weapon argument. This sounds crazy. This gets into Terminator land. But, like, come on. The rise of the machines, the singularity. I don't know if it's going to happen or it's not going to happen. But it's in the back of my mind. Elon Musk said in a tweet that it is the AI that's coming out right now is terrifying. Terrifying.
Yeah, that's weird.
He like used the words like fear and terror, I believe.
That's very strange.
And he's up there and he's like, you know, guiding us towards the future, and he's seeing the stuff and he's like, that's spooky. And I don't know, except someone made a really good point that you have to program this this robot to have the desire, have like the selfish desire of humans to constantly like procreate and have that instinct for survival. You have to program it for a survival instinct.
You have to program it to want to win.
Yes. Which I don't know how hard that is to do, but it there's like that one check. And kind of like how we got through the Cold War, or we almost didn't get through the Cold War. Did you ever hear the story about the submarine?
I've heard a lot of stories about the Cold War. How close it got.
Yeah.
It got pretty close. It came off and down to one dude. There was a dude in Russia that got the order to fire nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
And he said, this can't be right. I can't do this.
Yeah.
Ended up getting fired.
Mm-hmm.
But then it ended up, oh, no, that was totally a glitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, that stuff is terrifying.
Yeah.
My cat wants to be on the show. Excuse me. Come
here. Yeah, it's we can't get close. We can't get closer than that. Oh, my God, that's so adorable.
So if you're just listening right now, the cat is right up to the microphone. I'm going to see if I can get him to purr. He's getting his belly rubbed. He might start sneezing.
He sneezed a little bit.
Did he? He blew boogers on you one time, right?
He did a snot shot right on my shoulder.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, it was really good accuracy. I was playing video games. I kind of deserved it. I was being a jerk while playing video games.
And he snotted.
He knew. I think the cats have the force.
The force?
The force. They use the force. I think they're able to access it. If the force is real, and sometimes I really want to believe that it is.
Sure.
Cats have it.
I disagree.
I feel like they can manipulate time and space.
Yeah, they can. But I love your sense of imagination. I think if you want to protect us from drones.
Yes, that's what I was trying to go
that's
for.
That's great. You should join the armed services and become great at it.
But they have the drones.
Yeah, but if you become a general who feels it in his heart that this stuff is dangerous and we need to be prepared, that's how you do it. You aspire. You don't just own...
There's some guys in this world that are meant to be generals.
Sure.
And there's some guys in this world that are meant to do Nice Peter podcasts.
Right. But they want... Yeah. It's...
I'm not joining the armed services. You know, like, I thought about it. I think I wanted to be I wanted to be a Navy man when I was 18. I didn't want to go to college. I fought my parents about it.
You almost joined the Navy?
Yeah. I mean... Almost is not the right word.
Sure. I thought about it one day.
I was researching it. I was thinking about what the options were. I was looking at the National Guard, all the different kind of options because it appealed to me.
That's how I think that's how you responsibly handle your interest in protecting us.
Mm-hmm.
If you really want to protect society, not just yourself, but society, you go into the military and you do great at it.
Yeah.
I got a ton of respect for military dudes.
Same here. Takes a lot of balls.
It just takes a lot. It's a real thing.
I just wish, you know what I wish? I'd love to see a vote, a military vote. The military, all the soldiers get to vote whether or not they're going to proclaim war or go into war.
That'd That's interesting.
At least as a factor, not necessarily the end and be all sure. of the decision. Because right now Congress has that decision.
Right.
I'd love to see if the Congress go, yeah, we're going. And they're all like, nope, we're not.
Yeah, that gets dangerous. I mean, that kind of takes you down.
The guys on the front line, I think they should get a say in it.
Look, I agree that in an ideal world they would, and they would be cared for more. But that kind of, you know, you divide people. There's people who make political decisions, and there's people who handle the actual military output.
Yeah. I'm so fundamentally opposed to war that it's the one thing. We also had a discussion about absolutes. I don't like believing in absolutes,
sure.
but I absolutely think war is, there's just a better way out there and we're working towards it. But all the war that we've been involved with for the past in the 20th century is just nonsense. But not all, I'm sorry.
20th century.
I know, that doesn't include World War II. And that was a little bit more of a...
We're in the 21st century now.
Yeah, but... Even the 20th, like Vietnam,
sure,
et cetera. So,
talking about some heavy stuff.
I know,
man.
So, but the military vote, it's an idea. Maybe someone's thought of it. Maybe someone hasn't thought of it. Maybe it makes no sense and I'm a fool, but I don't know. I feel like you should get a vote. If you're the one who's going to put
it
in your life.
You get to vote for the Congress. You get to vote for the president. You get to vote for your state Senate. You get to vote. Like, you do get to vote. You can't get a special vote. Because
on a certain decision, in my ideal society,
firefighters don't get to vote on whether they go fight a fire or not. They become firefighters.
Firefighters aren't killing people.
No, they're saving people, which is in theory what the military is also doing.
Yes,
they're protecting the people.
It's very theoretical.
It is unfortunate that on sometimes the military gets used for ulterior motives.
Yes,
but that's where your vote comes in. That's you elect the people that make those choices,
or you don't.
We have a lot of, you know,
sorry,
we're disillusioned and discouraged about our politicians now.
Yes, we are.
It might be a turning point coming up. We might start.
I hope so.
It
Barack
be awesome.
Obama was supposed to be that turning point.
Yeah,
that was a bummer.
It wasn't a total bummer.
Not a total bummer, but there
when
was a
all,
lot to be bummed about.
When it's all over, I think there'll be some good things that he left behind. It's hard, man.
I know, I can imagine it's not easy.
I'm not saying being president is anything like making the epic rap battles of history, but no matter what I do, no matter what I choose, no matter what suggestion we choose to go with and how we do it, we're disappointing people.
Yes, but... Yeah,
I'm
no,
just
okay,
saying
yeah.
that when you're running a big thing, you're always going to let some people down. The point is it always, are you always trying your best? Are you always trying to go somewhere?
Yeah,
and I think when Barack Obama's done, as much hate as even people who voted for him might have, they're going to walk away and be like, you know what? We're not in a worse place.
Yeah, I think we're in a bit of a better place.
And internationally, there's a new respect for the United States. The United States is cool again. It got a little weird for a while.
Yeah,
in the George W. Bush era.
Yeah,
got a little weird on both sides. It divided us.
That seems almost unanimously weird. A lot of people who I know who are fundamentally pro-George are like, yeah.
That might not have been great.
Yeah.
It happened.
That's good. But I like that because I can appreciate, I was so pro-Obama and...
It's never perfect, things, man. Yeah, nobody's perfect. They present themselves. That's the thing is, you know what these guys are now is they're perfect at running for president. That's what's unfortunate about the way it is now, that the guy who becomes president of the United States... He's the best person in the country at running for president of the United States. Mm-hmm. He's not necessarily the best person at being president of the United States. Because the guy who's sitting there who might be the best person probably looks a little weird, probably doesn't have a perfect smile, perfect skin, looks great on TV, great at shaking hands, knows all the people, knows how to raise money. He just knows how to be president.
Yeah.
And those are two different things. Running for president, being president, they're two different jobs.
Yeah.
One is like a big old networking event.
Mm-hmm.
And one is not. I was lucky. I'm terrible at networking. Horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible. I never would have gotten to be able to make videos the way I'm doing now if I had to get there the traditional ways.
Yeah.
I got lucky. I met some people who like helped me. And so, yeah, the best president in the world is probably sitting somewhere in a town and he'll never become president.
No.
Because he's no good at running for president.
Rick Grimes.
For president?
Yeah, we need a Rick Grimes.
I got to tell you something. Andrew Lincoln, the actor, played Rick Grimes.
Mm-hmm.
I did an interview with a man named Eric Nagel.
Mm-hmm.
He's a producer of what used to be the Opie and Anthony show.
Okay.
So he's a dude. in radio, been in radio for a long time. He started his own show, and he called me for an interview. He said he had Andrew Lincoln on his radio show, and he asked him about the rap battle. He asked him about Rick Ames versus Walter White. He asked him if he had seen it. Andrew Lincoln said yes, he had seen it. He asked him if he liked it. He said, I did a good job. And I couldn't believe it, man.
That's awesome.
Then he went on to say he had Neil deGrasse Tyson on as a guest.
Stop.
Are you ready?
Stop
this is
right
the truth,
now.
Bro. This is the truth. Let's get angry to up the energy.
Yeah, I'm so energized by
all
this.
All right. So Neil deGrasse Tyson was on the show. He said, have you seen the rap battle? He said, yes, I have. All right. That's the first thing that made me little poop in the pants. Then he goes, what did you think? He said, well, first of all, I thought I should have won, which I think in some ways, I think he did win. I think
he totally won.
I thought.
It's okay.
I thought we did it. We wrote it in a way where everybody can win, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't feel comfortable even it being a question whether or not I beat Weird Al.
Yes.
When I was writing the rap battle, I was like, I have to take a little bit of a WWE dive. You know what I mean? I gotta go down a little bit because I don't want this to even be a question.
Yeah.
It's not. It's not a question. I don't even want it to be a question. Because I was, you know, we were writing both parts.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, I could have written it. So like, I looked way good and Weird Al looked kind of clunky.
Yeah.
That's not how,
no.
I didn't feel comfortable with
it's
that.
It's not how you make your guest feel.
It's not how you make your guest feel.
Yeah.
I learned a very important thing. You make a guest look better than he even does in real life. Mm-hmm. And when you're looking at Weird Al, that's really hard. So we worked tirelessly to make sure that Weird Al looked as great as he deserves to, as he does, as he should.
Yeah.
So I had to take a dive, but I couldn't let the rap battle take a dive. So we decided to bring Neil deGrasse Tyson in. That was our way of doing it.
Wasn't too much of a dive. My favorite part is the Bill Nye opener, the turning phase.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, it's so good.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
I got a little bit of hate for the Bill Nye performance.
Whatever. I think even he said something on Twitter about he was very happy with it.
I hope everybody realizes that it's more than just Bill Nye. It's Isaac Newton and played by Weird Al.
Yeah.
It can't really be that much of a contest. It's kind of like the Bieber Beethoven thing.
Yes.
I'm not saying Bill Nye is Justin Bieber, but it's obvious going into it. Bill Nye, Isaac Newton, there's a clear winner coming in.
Yeah.
So how did we handle that? We were like, all right, we'll spin it. We'll bring Neil deGrasse Tyson in. There's a challenge to Isaac Newton.
Yeah.
You know? So Neil deGrasse Tyson said he saw it. He should have won. And then he said, I don't understand why they didn't just ask me.
Stop.
That's the truth. I mean, it's the truth. I'm hearing it third person. This is hearsay. But that's what I hear the word on the street is about Neil deGrasse Tyson's opinion of the rap battle, is that we could have called him. Now, my response was, we couldn't have called him because we called Charlie Tuna, and he was perfect for it.
Yeah, no, yeah. Again,
he
no
looks like
there.
It. None.
Yeah.
He's, and that follows more closely with the tradition of the rap battles, is you get a rapper who can bring to life this person that you love.
Yeah, well, it would have been a real bummer if Neil couldn't rap.
Yeah, that would have been awkward.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie, there's an inherent prejudice in me that rose instantly.
Yeah.
That was like, well, he's a black man. Of course he can rap.
Yes.
But that is not true.
No, no.
You know?
I feel like the science part of it is...
The scientist and the black man kind of cancel each other out and we're starting from scratch. He's just a dude. We got to find out whether he can rap or not. So, I don't know. But I know he's great, and I know the fact that he there's a hair in my face. Where is it? Huh? All right. Oh, still there. That's so weird. You ever had a hair like?
You know, I felt one in my eyebrow, but I think it's gone.
Can't get rid of it. It's like when you get a hair on your tongue, and it's like.
So I think we're wrapping to our next 30-minute thing. If I don't start taking another break,
long?
Yeah. And I think we removed the hair.
We got rid of the hair.
Great.
We're back. Took another short break to change the camera.
Cameras.
So Neil deGrasse Tyson saw the rap battle. And, you know, during the interview, he was asking me, I was really shocked. I was reacting just like you were, like, oh, man, oh, I can't. And he asked me, he's like, why is it so hard for you to accept these compliments and accept it? People, it's not hard.
Mm-hmm.
I accept it. It makes me really happy. But it's just, I'm never going to stop getting excited about it.
Yeah,
I'm never going to get not excited that somebody like Neil deGrasse Tyson saw a piece of work that we made and enjoyed it. Every day, if that's not the coolest thing in my life, then I become jaded. I become disconnected from the gratitude I want to live.
It's so hard, though, easy to become disconnected. I don't know about you. But
you take it for granted.
You do.
If I wasn't careful, I could get to the point where I'm like, What do you mean Neil deGrasse Tyson didn't see it? Doesn't he know this is the epigraph battles of history and we chose him? What an honor for him.
You'd be the worst.
It'd be the worst.
It'd be awful. The worst.
But that's where it could go.
Yeah.
And I feel like if I don't hang on very tightly to the fact that I am lucky, that this is awesome, that this is a duty to make these as well as possible because they can be. Because I got the money I need to do it. I got the people I need to do it.
Yeah.
Anything else, I'd just be a dick. And I don't want to be a dick. So it's like I have to be excited about the fact that Neil deGrasse Tyson saw it.
Yeah.
And Rick Grimes changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
Taught me how to be a man.
Yes, he did.
I was 34 years old when I started watching Walking Dead. I had no idea how to be a man. I still thought babies came from dads. I was still really confused. And I watched that show. I learned about what manhood really is.
Yeah he really
what,
is.
What leadership really is.
Yes, he's an ideal leader.
Being firm, looking people in the eye, standing on your principles, not compromising, even when it means people don't like you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just, which I'm still learning how to do.
We all are.
I sent the meanest text out last night.
Oh,
I had to stand on a principle, and I went overboard.
Mm-hmm.
And I immediately apologized. I did everything I wasn't supposed to do. I got too firm, and then was like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm trying to learn how to be more assertive. It's tough, man. It's tough.
Aren't you kind of happy being the age you are now?
Yeah, I love it.
Isn't it great?
Yeah, if there's anybody out there who gets worried about getting older,
it's awesome.
It's awesome. Life continues to get better.
Yeah.
There's nothing about being older that's bad.
No. I had a thought today, because I hung out with an 18-year-old dude today who makes rap battle beats.
Yeah, the guy who made the Zeus versus
Thor
beat.
His name's Apestra. Talented young man.
Yes.
Did not realize he was 18 as I was
having lunch
with him.
I didn't either. He looks just like me, except younger.
And I was like, that's so cool you're 18, but I want to show him things.
Right.
I'm like, oh man, dude, there's so many things you got to learn about, like working in LA and living in LA.
And not being an idiot.
Yeah.
I love not being an idiot.
Yeah.
And when I look back at 25-year-old me, I was an idiot.
Yeah.
Just like, whoa, but you can't force that. I don't know. You meet certain young people who are like, that forest fire.
Yes.
That dude's young.
Yes.
Guy's got his stuff together. He's just not an idiot. Yeah. I don't know how that happened.
Me neither.
But he's the guy. Yeah, Zeus versus Thor. He's the guy who animated it. He did all the Lego animations.
Mm-hmm.
Him and a team that he runs of dudes.
Yeah.
I don't know how he does that.
I couldn't run around a track. That's a terrible joke. But
you couldn't run a Girl Scout troop.
I couldn't run a Girl Scout troop, yes.
Right. Well, that would be inherently creepy.
Yes.
I'm reaching for a metaphor too, but yeah, I know that I was an idiot as a younger person. I love being older because I just keep learning things.
Yeah,
making mistakes, learning from them. Luckily, I haven't made any of the get me in prison, get me in jail mistakes.
Yeah, well, you've made them. You just haven't made the mistake of going to jail.
Right, right.
And I feel like the failures now are such a more of a breeze. It's like I'll fail. Yeah, you want me to fail right now? I'll fail right now.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because you know that every failure is a lesson.
Yes. Before, failure felt like...
terrifying.
That was it.
Yeah.
Life's over. You messed up.
In a relationship, in a personal relationship, failure feels like it's going to be the worst. You have these moments and you're dating someone and something goes wrong and you're like, my whole life is over. I can't live without you. Oh!
Yeah.
And then like a couple days later, you're like, oh, I'm okay.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't need to freak out that much because even if that didn't go okay, I'm still okay. So, yeah, next time I'm not going to freak out that much.
Mm-hmm.
Next time I'm dating someone and we get into a big fight, okay, you know, you're really upset. That's all right. If that means you need to end this relationship, I will live and I will survive.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, it might just mean I need to stay calm, let you freak out, be a safe place. You can't damage a rock.
Yeah.
If I come at you like a flimsy piece of paper.
Yeah, it's no one wants that.
Nobody wants that.
No.
Sometimes I think people are just testing to see if somebody can deal with stuff.
Yes.
Which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you should wait till real stuff happens and see if they can deal with it. I counted on my ability to deal with real problems.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dog starts having a seizure. I'm on it. Calm.
Yeah.
I'm not going to freak out.
Yeah.
I'm going to jump into action. But like this imaginary weird thing that's going on where you're mad about nothing. I don't know how to deal with this.
Yes.
Now I do.
The Rock.
The Rock.
Yeah. That's a interesting point to go to.
I want to show you something. This was given to me by, where is it? So this was is recommended to me. I met, speaking of meeting people that are unbelievable, I met a man named Terrence Winter.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the creator of Boardwalk Empire, mm-hmm. television show.
Yeah.
That's what we watched to form Al Capone for the Rat Pack.
Oh, that's cool.
We base it around the way they explored Al Capone. So it was an integral part of our research. Amazing. Yeah. Amazing show. He also was the head writer of Sopranos for six or 7 years from season two onwards.
Wow.
That show changed television forever.
Yes, it did.
It put that like edgy, you know, long-running storyline, you know, middle fingers up to the advertisers because we're on HBO. We do what we want. Mm-hmm. We, you know, if this guy's going to strangle somebody in an episode, that's what he's going to do. That's what the story calls for. We don't care how many people out there are upset about it.
Yeah,
we're telling our story. People buy it. We keep making it.
Mm-hmm.
So that dude, I met him. He's a Rap Battles fan.
That's pretty incredible.
Just more poop in my pants. It's been inspiring. He specifically complimented the writing. Like he talked about the Einstein versus Hawking battle and the writing in it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to write him an email and be like, this is like Anthony Bourdain leaning over and being like, hey man, you should try the oysters. That's what it was like to have him tell me I should check out this script.
Yeah.
So this is a television show from like the 1960s called Meeting of Minds. I don't know if you can see this on the camera, and I'll just tell you if you're... So I'm not sure when exactly. 1976, 1977. So this is the rap battles before the rap battles ever existed. Mm-hmm. What it is, it's a bunch of famous people from all different times, and instead of having a rap battle, they're sitting down and having dinner. And he told me to check this out.
And now, does it exist in TV, in a film?
I had the hardest time finding any real copy of it. Mm-hmm. So what I'm holding up, if you're just listening, is just a book version of all the scripts.
Yes.
There's no DVD box set.
Gotcha.
It's like kind of hard to find. There's a couple of YouTube videos out there, but they're all grainy and weird.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to obsess over this. I'm going to read every word and learn why this person who writes at this level took the time out of his day to send me an email saying you should check this out.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely going to check that out. If Anthony Bourdain tells you to check out the oysters,
you get the oysters.
You get the oysters. Even if you don't like oysters, you eat them mm-hmm. and you go, okay, well, I didn't like those, but I know now. And if you don't, you're 25 years old. You're me and you're an idiot. So I'm going to check this out. I'm going to learn why this man who writes these things that I admire so much thinks I should read this. That's all.
That's really cool. That's a good point of inspiration.
I want to show you one other thing, maybe to close us out tonight.
Yeah, cool.
Today. This is a piece of viewer mail. So we're going to start tradition here on the podcast of opening a piece of viewer mail.
Yes.
Should we sing the song? Do we play the song?
We can... what do you want to do?
Let's insert the song. I like this song.
Okay, great.
So here we go. Let's dance to it. Second verse. Okay. So this came to me from Eve Tate Creations in Kyle, Texas. And the guy's name is Jerry Rutherford.
Mm-hmm.
Derek, you're from Texas, right? Beautiful people in Texas. We did not get to go to Texas on our tour last summer.
No.
We're going to try real hard to get to Texas this time.
Yes. It's a big, beautiful state.
It's a big, beautiful state full of big, beautiful people.
Yeah. I've only been to Houston and Dallas, and I want to see more.
Even Houston and Dallas, there's a spirit there.
Mm-hmm.
There's no... Nobody just lies down and takes it in Texas.
Nope.
They stand up for something.
Yeah.
No matter what it is. Whether you agree with it or not, there's opinions.
Yeah.
There's gumption.
Yeah.
There's strength. It's just something to the people.
Yeah.
You just can't. I don't think you can get away with being a bullshitter in Texas.
No.
I even said Texas.
Derek, what do you think? Derek switched from Texas? No. No.
You just can't.
Can't do it.
Somebody shoots you in your butt. So this came, and I have opened this already, so this isn't a surprise, but I just want to show you this. I don't know if I showed this to you.
Oh, yes. I did see this.
So this is a...
This makes me sad.
A painting that this man made. Now, if you're on the camera, I'll hold it up. I hope it stays in focus. So if you're just listening, this is a picture of Charlie, who's my dog that passed away.
Yeah.
And when, you know, Dante and I lived together, Charlie was in our home. Mm. I'm getting a little choked up talking about
it. Yeah.
And it says, I was thinking of you. And it's just a picture of Charlie with a very sad face. And it's this like kind of, I don't know how to describe it. I don't know if it's like a painting or a carving or what it is, but it's in a frame. It's beautiful. It's beautifully made. And it says on the back, I feel your loss. I guess Charlie just wanted to make you feel better. And it does. There's a sadness to it. There's a beauty to it. But I want to talk about Charlie the dog for a moment.
Please.
He passed away while I was out of the country.
Yeah.
that was probably the hardest thing I haven't even really been able to face or deal with yet. I was on tour. I was on the vacation portion of my tour. So I'd done the work. Now I was just enjoying myself. And there were, you know, there was a woman here taking care of him that worked for me. She was taking good care of him, but he was a sick old dog. He had seizures for months. He ended up getting real sick. So we were in Amsterdam right after the night of the show in Amsterdam. I got this call. Charlie's having seizure after seizure after seizure. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
So he went to a hospital, ended up really getting sick. They put him on all these tests or whatever. He was really sad. I was dealing with all this from a telephone, not to feel bad for me.
Yeah.
But I was like so powerless, so like helpless. And this was like a week before. All I was thinking about was I can't wait to get home and just hold my dog. Yeah. I've been away from him for so long. He's such a little sweetheart. So to find out that he's at the hospital and the hospital starts calling me and saying, hey, we really think it's time to put him to sleep. And to be like 6 days away from being home, not knowing how to deal with that. And then I also, you know, I had an ex-girlfriend who was close to the dog.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of our relationship, was really close to the dog. And she had told me, you know, I want to see Charlie. If anything happens to him, you know, please let me know. And we hadn't been communicating that much. But so here's this moment all at once, middle of the night in Amsterdam, after this big show, I get this phone call, Charlie might be dying. Then do I call my ex-girlfriend and be like, yo, Charlie might be dying.
Yeah.
So it got really intense. It was really confusing. I hadn't had any sleep. I didn't know what to do. I have to decide over the phone what to do with the life of this little dog.
Yeah.
Where is it selfish of me? No, keep him alive for 6 days. I want to hold him. I want to be there.
Yeah.
Called her, you know, we never really even communicated directly, but as it ended up happening, she went to the hospital. The girl who worked for me went to the hospital. They both held him as he died. So he wasn't alone. I just didn't get to be there.
Yeah.
I need to accept it, move on. You know, it's some ways, you know, I think like, you know, it's a dog. It's not. But at the same time, very special dog. First pet I ever had.
Mm-hmm.
So what did I want to say about that? Oh, I just want to show you the piece of viewer mail.
Yeah.
Well, and all the feelings of something like this. This conjures up a lot more feelings than just a dog. It's a relationship. It's a, you know, a girl who doesn't work with me anymore. It's it's a chapter of my life kind of ended that night.
Yeah.
And I wasn't there. It's very weird. But yeah. I like seeing this and being able to kind of explore the hurt around it, deal with it, process it, be like, you know what? I think Charlie got a good stroke of luck coming into our lives.
His life was awesome when he was here.
When we got him, he was in a cage.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted him. It was like this desperate situation, a Facebook post being like, does anyone want to take care of this old dog?
Oh.
So immediately, you know, he came into our life. It was like the greatest thing in the world. He was a superstar around here.
Yeah.
He became relatively internet famous.
Yeah.
He had songs written about him. He had people writing, making paintings of him, pictures of him, loving him. He was inspiring people in certain ways. Inspired me to become less like needy and clingy in my relationship because mm-hmm. I could always just need and cling my dog.
Yeah.
That he didn't mind. Yeah. Like, hey, man, I need you to just stay there and let me hug you and don't say anything. I had a hard day. That was no problem. It made me less codependent in my relationship. It helped me grow.
Yeah.
Because I could be totally, you could be codependent with a dog.
Yeah.
That's kind of the nature of the relationship.
That is the relationship.
That is the relationship.
Yeah.
They need you for food. You need them for
love
like
and
all the
amusement.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You look at them and be like, hey, man, do I look okay in this? And he's like, roof. You know, all right, great, thanks. So it helped me grow that relationship. I think he was happy. At the end, I think he was suffering.
Yeah. No, but that many seizures in a row sounds
tough.
Like...
It's tough. And the fact that he was able to pass this life in the arms of people who cared about him, whether I was there or not.
Yeah.
I think everybody came away from that experience being like, we tried our best.
Yeah. I feel... Yeah. It is what it is. And
no, we're all going to die someday.
Sure are.
But in the meantime, we should listen to podcasts. We should listen to music. We should watch videos. And try our best to have a nice week.
Yeah, absolutely.
So on that incredibly uplifting note, we'll see you next time. Charles, you rule. Oh, Charles, you can do anything. I know I've seen it. I know I mean it. Charles, you can do anything. Whoa, oh, Charles. Charles, do anything. Charles.
Charles, you can do anything. Whoa, oh, Charles.